Matthew 17, beginning in verse number 14, you'll notice that the Word of God does say this. When they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. Now brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured, how do you say it, from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing or no thing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. I'm going to preach a simple thought tonight, the supernatural power of small faith. The supernatural power of small faith. Lord, bless the message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, thank you for standing. A very familiar story we have in the Bible, to some maybe, and if not, it's a great story. Every story in the Bible that is true, when we see reality of the power of God, the reality of His Word, is always something we should latch on to. And I was telling someone the other day, in the message I preached Sunday, I'm tempted just to preach it every Sunday for about a month, until everybody really just believes that it really works to have faith in God. Can you think about the reality of the truths that were there? Think of how many people heard what was preached Sunday, and for a moment it sounded good, but before they even left the doors, they were already committed back to their same old way of living. Not going to be delivered. Stay in the same sin vices, stay in the same sin habits, stay in the same cares of the world, same cares of this life, and just stay there. And when the word spoken gave the opportunity of deliverance, you know, but God, and it wouldn't be a bad idea, but because we need to meditate in the scriptures. It says, look at verse 14 again. And when they came, when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and said, Lord, have mercy on my son. Well, thank God he went to the right place for mercy. You know, if we all had mercy on everybody like Jesus did, we'd all be a lot kinder and sweeter people. For he's a lunatic. Now, a lunatic is a person affected by insanity, by definition. So this person has been declared to be insane and sore vexed, for oft times he falls into the fire and oft into the water. And we see something about Jesus' wisdom here. Because in verse 16, it says, I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Now, at this point, he's looking for a cure, and apparently maybe the disciples were trying to cure him also. And Jesus is the only one that's going to recognize that at the end of this, that this is a spiritual problem. This is not a physical problem that they're dealing with. It is a spiritual problem. Because we see Jesus here responded in verse 17, and then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Or allow you? How long shall I allow you? I wonder what he meant there by that. Because the word suffer means to allow. How long shall I, did he mean how long shall I allow you to represent me and not continue? Because the reality is, I believe he called them faithless because if you know the story, he had already given them power and authority over all devils. But apparently, maybe they either forgot that or they didn't think they could no longer do that or maybe, again, in their being turned aside, because he called them perverse, that they had failed to recognize that this was even a spiritual problem. Maybe they bought into it like everybody around it, that it's supposed to be a physical situation. We're going to have some healing. And so many things that in this life, we listen to all those around us. And so many things that are spiritual problems, we don't even recognize anymore. We deal with everything just like the world does, by sight, you know. You know, so many physical things, you know. I'm amazed at how many people, when they're physically weak, They never think about asking God for help when they're physically weak. Just think about that. Because God can do anything, so why would not help you physically? I mean, if you're trying to accomplish something for the Lord, it's amazing. You know, I found myself, okay, I'm 43, that's not very old, but I found myself, okay, I'm 43, you know, I'm getting old, you know, I can't do things like I used to, you know, I can't work on functioning, my less amount of sleep, and this and that, and you know, and I tell you, but this past week I've had such a burden for people and for just God. I've been up at about 3:30 every morning, you know, and going to bed like 10 o'clock at night, and just asking God for help, you know, and I've been better rested than I have been in a long time, had strength to do things that I haven't had to do, and I just asked God for help. You know, I didn't walk around afraid of, oh man, it's just so rough. I mean, I did feel, I think I had a 20-minute nap one day that carried me through. I mean, that was it. And I thought, and I just asked God for help, you know, because the things God put on my heart, it's by His design. And so I just asked Him for help to do that. But here the disciples are. They're turned aside. And in verse 18, Jesus does what He needs to do because, and Jesus rebuked the devil and he departed out of him. So what people thought was mental insanity was really a spiritual problem. I wonder how many mental ailments that people have today really are spiritual problems. That's a side note. That's free. But it says, and then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? Now this is a good question though. Thank God for them. It would be good if every child of God here would say, God, how come we don't have faith in you like we need you? Why cannot... If you're in something that God didn't want you in, if you're in a spiritual state that isn't pleasing unto the Lord, and you can't seem to break it, why not humble yourself and go to God and say, but why can't not I get out of this? But see, what we do exactly what the devil wants us to do. We just throw up our hand and say, I can't. You know, I was reading Romans 7. I learned something good this week. It really helped me. You know, Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And but see, that's where we end the story there. When we look at that, we read that, and our Christian like ends, we say, if Paul felt that way, then we just might as well give up too, and we stop there. But the verse following said, I thank my God through Christ Jesus. Amen. So he got the victory through Christ Jesus. He found how wretched he was, but he didn't stop there. He in his wretchedness, he said, God, help me. And he found out that Jesus could help him. Amen. But the disciples, they didn't accept their failure. Thank God for that. Now, he called them faithless. They responded to that. They didn't get offended. He called them perverse. He called them turned aside. And he went to them and he said, you know, he said, Lord, why couldn't we do that? Why couldn't we cast them out? The question I've been asking myself for really this past year, Lord, I'm looking at these people in the Bible. What's wrong with me? Why can I not get to that? And he keeps whittling away at this, churning away at that, getting rid of this, getting rid of that, having me repent here, having me repent there. And I thank God for the revision of things that He just showed me. And I thank God and it's available to everybody. And He says, and Jesus in verse 20, He says, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Now, the message really is going to be verse 20. I don't really have any points tonight, but we're really going to give you a meditation, I think, more than anything else. And I hope you'll take the time to meditate. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. Now, we're going to read the verse that most of you don't believe right now. I believe tell the truth. We're going to read a part. And nothing shall be impossible for you. Because we don't do most things that God would have us to do. And so we just think nothing's impossible. How do we ever get to that, you know? And I'm talking about the spiritual things, you know. We can set up our religious things, you know, we're able to accomplish those. But I was thinking about this today. You know, everything that used to mean the most to me as far as being an independent Baptist, as far as the things I found out every cult and false religion could do. False religions and cults can, they can turn away worldly music. False religions and cults can dress modestly in the world. false religions and cults can be separate from the world. False religions and cults can die for their faith. Even. And now those things are important. That false religions and cults can't have an intimate fellowship and walk with the God of heaven. And false religions and cults can never produce and live the fruits of the Spirit. I've talked to many people, all different faiths, most devout people, and there's always there's a lack of joy. There's lack of temperance, because it comes out somewhere. There's lack of goodness. There's lack of peace. And all the things, you know, the things, and these things only come by being in fellowship with God. And they only come by faith and come by the Word of God. And it's so vitally important. That's what Satan always had to sidetrack. And that's what and the reason we say powerless so many times is we never deal with the root and the problems of our heart. And because externally we're not as bad as other people, we don't deal with our sin. I'll be probably preaching the great commandment till I die, to love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, your mind, and your strength. And until it becomes personal, until we really think, you know, God doesn't, until we really fall before God, God, you don't have all my heart. Forgive me. God, you don't have all my strength. Forgive me. God, you don't have all my mind. You don't have all my might. Would you forgive me? I realize that's a sin against you. And since your love, you commanded me that because that's what's best for me. But he says, your unbelief has hindered you and caused you to be faithless and to be turned aside. Now, the thought I really want you to get more than anything else, he said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. Anyway, raise your hand if you ever had a prayer answered by God. Praise God. Now, raise your hand if you ever had something that you thought was a big answer to prayer from God. If something just gave you joy, you were just amazed, you know. Now raise your hand if your prayer, your faith ever moved a mountain. Now, mine's not really up. I just asked you how that moved a mountain. Now, the Bible tells us here that if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, and you probably can't see it, but I have one in my Bible here. It's very small. If you can see the little discoloration, the brown dot, it's kind of faded over time. But that's a mustard seed right there in front of my Bible. He said, look at the verse. If ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Think of what you just, if you were actually looking at it, think of what we just read there, what we looked at. If you just had faith that small, you could speak to a mountain and it would move hence, go yonder place. Another passage talked about if you had the same faith, you can move, speak to the sycamine tree, and it'd be plucked up by the roots, you know. We had a garden as a kid, and sometimes you have to go weed the garden, you know. And it's amazing sometimes. It's easy to go down, it's easy to go down and cut some of those plants off and just knock them off and throw it on the tops of the garden, but you got to pull the roots out. I mean, some of those things are deep, you know. Sometimes you think, man, I can remember sometimes, even when I was in high school and we lifted a lot of weights and I played football, I can remember a couple of times going up to plant and pull up by the roots and all of a sudden, because those roots were dug in deep, you know. And Jesus says, here, you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could speak to a sycamine tree. And it would be plucked up by the roots, and just cast it to the sea. And Jesus said, nothing shall be impossible to you. Now think of how many times in your pursuit of really following God that you gave up because you thought it was impossible. How many things that you thought you? I mean, I'm not saying something somebody told you to do, but there's time when you've been alone with God and you know that you got God's direction for your life. You know that you got God's will for your life. You know that no matter what anybody said, this is the will of God. And then all of a sudden you pursue that, and all of a sudden it seems so impossible that you can't even remember the last time you walked the direction toward what you knew was God's will for your life. Because you just said simply, it's impossible. And God just says here, you know, if you just have faith as a grain of mustard seed. Now, I want you to think about this. Now, everybody raise their hand for answer to prayer. Now, none of us spoke to a mountain. How much faith? Now, for mustard seed, if faith as a grain of mustard seed, if that's all it took to cast a mountain into the sea, I mean, just say this is a yonder place here. How much did it take to answer your request? Does anybody think that what they asked was comparable, really, to throwing a mountain in the sea? Think about it. Just think about that for a second. Now, you say, "What is he saying?" So, if whatever you think your biggest answer to prayer was doesn't come close to speaking to a mountain, speaking to a mountain and having it cast in the sea, and nothing being impossible for you, why are we so faithless? If it takes this much faith, this small, to speak a mountain into the and move it from one place to another, why, when it comes to this life and we really have things we know we need for God, there's not enough faith to believe that God can do anything with us that He wants to? Me and my daughter were talking about this story, and she probably reminded me of telling this. She explained the way she thinks. She starts trying to think about how God could pick the mountain up and move it, you know? Because, I mean, that's because we're sight people. We live by sight, you know? And to me, it's simple. The Bible talks about the hands of God. God just picks it up, breaks the top off, and chunks it, you know? That's a Texas word, chunk, you know? And, I mean, to me, it's that simple, you know? He speaks. And because he heard the cry of one of his children, he just breaks the mountain off. He said, "Man, I'm glad he got faith in me. I'm glad to believe in me." I tell you, but if you never moved a mountain, and think of how whatever you think was the biggest, most miraculous thing. I mean, I'm talking about the things you came and you praised God for. God answered your prayer and you were overwhelmed. You couldn't believe God did it, you know. And you thought, man, I remember the most, for me, was when God gave me the strength to hang live turkeys years ago. That was the first, one of the first things when I just realized God took me, when God broke my strength down to nothing and allowed me to realize that there was nothing within Reiner Harper that could carry the weight. And then all of a sudden, he poured power into this broken down body that they said only one out of 200 people could ever do that job. And then when the life was there, the strength was there, I said, God did it. And I was so excited about that. But you know what? That's not a mountain. I still didn't move a mountain. I think about that night. I was in my bedroom and I laid those want ads out and I circled that job at Wonder Bread and I needed double my pay. And I said, God, and whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Father, I want this job to pay my bills on time. I want the job to give money to missions. I want to be this job. I'm off Wednesdays and Sundays. I want to be in your house by authority of your word. Thank you for the job. And some of you know the story. I got the job. I went there I left with a job on a Monday that they weren't even accepting applications for until Wednesday. Now, that's not as big as a mountain, but I remember coming away from there like, whoa. I remember thinking God can do anything. And I think, I haven't moved a mountain, but I'm thinking, now how small? How small? Now, if it takes this little bit of faith to move a mountain, I mean, for me to ask God for a job that allows me to be faithful to God and to serve the Lord and pay my bills on time, that's got to be a lot smaller. And for me, God, just to ask him to strengthen the body that he made anyway, to do the job that he led me into, I mean, that had to be pretty small. I mean, pretty small. But yet, I still rejoice at the power and things I do. I think of the time when we've had nothing. I mean, I think about the second camp retreat we had. And we needed, like, I think it was about $600 or $700 to pay the rent on the thing, you know. And I just went into the camp like we had money, you know, and didn't know what God was going to do. And somebody comes and visits the camp and hands me a check for $1,000. And I didn't pass an offering plate. I didn't ask for anything. I just trusted God. And I thought, I just asked God to meet the need. And that's pretty small. I thought, wow, you know. And I mean, compared to that, that's not a mountain, but I mean, this is small. How small would that be? I mean, and just think of, and what I'm, if you don't know where I'm going yet, I want you to think about the things that you just make such a big deal out of in your life, that keep your eyes off Jesus, and that you just allow yourself to lose your joy. And you live like the world, and I live like the world sometimes. We have to be provided for like the world. We find our same joy from the world. We allow ourselves to trust like the world. Everything we do, our lives have to be operated and governed by the same way that the world has. And whereas we just had a faith, probably for what we're really dealing with, a faith so something small that we can't really even see. If we just by faith, God would pour out himself, and we would believe that nothing shall be impossible for you. Well, we read in the Bible people that were Christ-like, and it seems that professing believers can't even do that. And how small would that be for God when God says he made you a new creature? I mean, what faith, how small would that have to be to do even just that? I want you to understand that there is a supernatural power in small faith. See, Satan has deceived so many followers of Christ to where when you need something to obey the Lord, I'm not talking about like these people on TV praying for airplanes and rich cars and $1,000 suits. I'm talking about simple Christian living. That the average person that professes Christ acts like it's impossible to live. And it's because you've allowed Satan to speak to you like you need some great, huge amount of power just to walk in the things of the Lord. When he says, if you just had a faith, a grain of mustard seed, you could go out and speak to the CN Tower even, and it fly off like a rocket. If you just probably had a faith so small you could see, you probably love your enemies, wouldn't struggle with holiness, wouldn't struggle with a love for the world, wouldn't struggle with the thoughts. Because, you know, God does say that for sin shall not have dominion over you. Wouldn't be dominated by the things that you know are in between you and the perfect will of God. When you had a problem, the first thought wouldn't be, who can help me? It would be, Lord, you put me here. You can do it. If I had a health problem, the last resort wouldn't be the prayer. But the only alternative would be the God of the Bible that made the body. And there would be Probably just a little bit of faith there. Probably not any faith you have to see. They could change the course of nature. It worked for Rosalie when the doctor said she couldn't have any children. God changed the course of nature. I remember one night she was at church and we were praying for her, and she was having all kind of she was having some stomach trouble, something. She was hurting, you know. And I remember going home that night. I said, I think God just right now rearranging her insides so she can conceive, you know. Because my God can do that, amen. Nothing's impossible for Him. And that's what He said. He said nothing. And He said Himself, He should make the barren woman the mother of eight or something like that, make the barren woman bear children. Nothing. Why do we have all these examples of what God can do? And yet, instead of nothing shall be impossible unto you, we live as if nothing is possible for you. If you have faith as a grain. Does that make it sound stop? If you have faith. I did plan on quitting about 8, so maybe that's a reminder. Nothing out of the accident, you know. If he had faith as a grain of mustard seed, he shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Nothing. Now what does that mean? Does that mean nothing? We have some minutes. Does that mean nothing? Brother Mark, does that mean nothing? Should be impossible for you? Is that what it means? Amen. Is that what it means, though? Amen. Amen. So what? Let's go live that then. Do you have any impossible situation in your life right now? Some of you been in for a while, and you just maybe a direction for your life and the will of God for your life, and it seems impossible for you. Well, why don't I take God at His word tonight and live what He said and ask Him for the faith that He said is available. They said in another passage, all things are possible in Him that believeth. In case you're wondering, well, maybe I don't have it, just believe. All things are possible in Him that believeth. He said that. Thank God for it. You can look that passage up later. You ought to memorize that. And immerse yourself in the reality of the fact that it is impossible for God to lie. So when you see something like this, you ought to remind yourself, it is impossible for God to lie. Philippians 4:13. What does it say? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It is impossible for God to lie. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. It is impossible for God to lie. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. And all things are of God, and He hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. It is impossible for God to lie. If ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. So if you have faith, it's a little bit smaller. Well, if you get to the point you just have the mustard seed faith, he said, nothing shall be impossible for you. Why did he tell him that? You think he told him that just to tease him that you'll never have this kind of faith? No, he told him they had turned aside from it. Did you get that? Did you read it? He told us because they had turned aside from it. They were faith. He didn't say their faith was weak. The reason is they had been casting out devils before. He said they were faithless. They left the faith. And therefore, to conceive. At this one, probably it is impossible. They couldn't see it. Because they had left us. And he said, how long shall I suffer you? And God looks at me sometimes, and I believe he looks at you sometimes, and how long shall I suffer you? I mean, you've got the answer to what you're going through. You've got the answer right here. You've got the truth right here. Why do you continually allow yourself to live without the love, the joy, the meekness, the goodness, the temperance, the faith, all the things that I promised you were yours upon salvation? If you just allow yourself to be filled with me. Why is that? How long shall I suffer you? God would have us tonight to just say, Lord, give us faith small enough to get the job done, wherever it may be. So next time, as I pray for my father-in-law, not knowing what God's perfect will is, I know it didn't take much faith for him to be healed. I know stories of people, Mrs. Bianchi. She had a faith the size of a grapefruit, a tumor the size of a grapefruit. And they went back to check the x-ray, and it was gone. You know what happened? The church had anointed her with oil and prayed over it. God did it. God's able. He does that. I think that's kind of like nothing. Nothing should be impossible, right? Amen. I mean, God can do those things. He still does. Amen. And whatever your spiritual need is, now I qualify my spiritual need. And by the way, and physical needs are spiritual sometimes, because physical needs can interfere with doing the will of God. And see, you ask God, and then you trust God and believe you can do it. There may be some things that God allows you to say physically, but if not, then in those things, that's the thing that he chose, he on purpose placed in you to glorify him through those things. Because if it's something God has allowed to stay, then it's for his glory. And that means you won't be in the mully grubs over what he left there. You'll realize this is by the hand of God to do something. It's like Paul when he said he had the thorn in the flesh, so he wouldn't be exalted above measure. But man, nothing should be impossible. I'm not talking about praying for cars and stuff and things. I'm talking about people that have a heart tonight. They really would just like to be used of God. They would like their life to count for the glory of God. They would like to know that when this life is over, that they will have some crowns to cast at Jesus' feet. They would like to hear those words from God more than anyone else. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. He's going to put some things in your path that you need to believe him for his glory. Because think about it. And let me help everybody tonight just for a moment. Stay with me, and I'm really almost done. Stay with me just for a second. If you're a follower of Christ, and you're serving the God that created the universe and made everything, why would God have you live a life to where everything that you go through could be explained by the operation of man? So why would God have you live a life that just has normal situations that you can figure out, and you can get this person to help you, that person to help you, this to do that, and you can do this and you can do that, instead of having you and I in some situations that, it's going to take a God for this one. That all the earth may know that he is God and none else. So we're the light for a reason. It takes the Spirit of Christ to bless them that curse you and pray for them that despitefully use you. It takes the Spirit of God to love those people that just take advantage of you, that want you just for what you can do for them. It takes the Spirit of God to love your enemies. It takes the work of God on the inside. It takes the Spirit of God just to love everybody around you. And to be patient. And to be kind. It takes the Spirit of God to be in a physical situation that you know is interfering with the will of God. And the only way you can get out of it is a supernatural miracle. I say, God can do it. I'm so glad that when I needed that job for Wonder Bread, I didn't call all my friends and say, hey, can you hook me up with a job? I'm so glad I called upon the God of heaven. And he did it. I'm so glad at times we've been broke and had nothing. Until I just got on my knees and said, God, I need a miracle. I need you to do something. I've worked all I can work. I've done all I can do. It's between you and the bill collector now. But do anything else, I'll interfere with your will. I'm so glad he delivers. I'm so glad at times when I've been physically weak and didn't feel like I could even get out of bed and I needed to do something for God. Before I lay there and slept, I say, oh God, give me the desire to get up and the strength to rise and serve you. And the Spirit of God falls. I'm so glad of the times when I felt so unqualified to preach. And by the way, that's all the time. Because I'm not qualified for anything that I do. That's how I want to stay home and call somebody else to come preach. And then God says, and I said, God, all I know is that you spoke to me one day from Galatians. You said, for when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. God, you separated me from my mother's womb to preach the gospel. So I just obey you, whether I have any power or not. And in those times, people have been helped by the word of God. But I realized it was nothing in me. And I'm so glad for the times that when it looks like absolutely nothing's happening, faith says be faithful. And so, you know what happens when you're faithful? The fruit falls. The love falls. The joy falls. But you know, you're faithless. All you can do is sit and watch as people are controlled by demons. All you can do is sit and watch as you're controlled by your own demons. You sit and watch and helpless, and you just want life to stop spinning. Instead of saying, I'll close with this. I wanted to preach this, but God wouldn't let me. I was talking to Pastor Spears one day, and he took his son in. I just came in because it's good to get a bunch of old preachers. And his son had been divorced by his wife. He was trying to serve God. He's trying to be faithful. And he took him to his preacher that helped him years ago. And took him to a verse in Deuteronomy, I think it was. And he showed him this verse, and he said, it is your life. Maybe you're sleeping and get this. It is your life. No matter what you may think of people that control you, whatever, it is your life. You have the power to condemn it. Nobody can stop you from condemning your life. Nobody can stop you from living your own life. It is your life. And nobody can stop you from being blessed beyond measure with a relationship with God that can only be described as biblical. It is your life. No one can take it from you. No one can rob you of it. It is your life. And he said, because he was depressed over his wife leaving, trying to do all these things, and he told the young man, she said, go back home and take your life. He said, get your life back. And if you're a child of God, and you're the one that's under the boat right now, under the bus, whatever they say, you can think of times when you told people God could do anything. And you believe God could do anything. And right now, every circumstance of life is under control. And your emotions control you. Well, I don't even have to make the list. Something controls you other than God. If you're a child of God, go get your life back. And I think I just preached the authority how you can have it. Faith. Lord, we thank you for the Bible tonight. And I'm so thankful for you giving me my life back. And Lord, you're such a great God. In spite of me, that you... Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let your will be done. Save those who need to be saved. Humble those that need to be humbled. Increase all our faith. Whatever it takes to do it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you want to pray and meet the Lord, I'm certainly free to do that.